Den letzten Vortrag des heutigen Tages übernimmt der Christian Kier. Er war lange Zeit der Geschäftsführer des Europäischen Windenergieverbandes und arbeitet jetzt in Dänemark für die Windkraftanlagenbesitzer. Das ist ein eigener Verband, das ist DK Wind. Dänemark, wie Sie wissen, ist ja so etwas wie ein Sehnsuchtsland für Windradbesitzer, die daraus Strom erzeugen. Im Vorjahr haben die über 40% ihres Strombedarfs aus Windenergie gedeckt. Das wurde ja heute schon erwähnt. Man hat sie auch Weltmeister genannt, was eben die Stromerzeugung aus Wind betrifft. Es kommt aber dazu, dass die Dänen schon in den 80er Jahren, also schon vor einigen Jahren, mit dem Umbau ihres Energiesystems begonnen haben und das nicht von heute auf morgen passiert ist. Wie das möglich ist, dass man so viel Strom aus Wind erzeugt, das wird uns der Christian Kier jetzt im letzten Vortrag des Tages schildern. Bitte schön, der Floor ist yours.
Vielen Dank, Herr Christina. The good people of the Austrian Wind Energy Association that let me in down at the reception this morning, they started by asking me whether I understand German, and I said, ein bisschen. And then they started testing me, and they said, verstehst du Energiewende? Ja, I answered, and then they said, verstehst du Blitzkrieg? And I said, das bedeutet dasselbe. So, I was tested, and I understand most German, but I'm not very good at speaking it. So this is the only slide I have that has a German that has German letters in it, and that's because it's the title. I'm very happy that I'm speaking about the experiences, the Erfahrungen of the Danish strategic development of the energy system, because we had a very strategic approach to developing the system to accommodate all this wind energy in the system. We don't anymore. So I'm glad I'm speaking about the experiences because we don't have a future strategy. And I think that's my most important message here. And I think also this is what we heard from the Austrian grid operator. We need to have a coordinated approach in terms of grid development and the development of the renewables. And that plan needs to be long-term, and we need long-term visibility. That's how we got there, and I'll show you where we got to over the last 10 years. And that's what we in Denmark are lacking right now. And that's why, if you're asking me, we're handing over the leadership position if we don't do something very soon. So that was a brief introduction, but it's also the most important thing. In 2005, we created what's called Energinet, which is the equivalent of the Austrian power grid in Denmark. It basically took over all the transmission grids for electricity and gas, and they had a mandate to develop the transmission systems in accordance with the plans for developing the renewables. That was the coordinated plan, and we also helped that we had the national renewable energy plans going out to 2020 from the European legislation that's currently in place and currently being revised. What the grid operator said before was the same as we hear many places: we can't accommodate very much. What they're saying now is we're at 43% wind. By 2020, we will be way beyond 50% wind in the system. This is without any hydro, large hydro in Denmark. And we'll be easily can meet 100% wind energy in the electricity sector by 2025. It's not a technical challenge that is impossible to do. And that's the most important message from the Danish transmission system operator. And if I had the money, I would send them around the world with that message, because they have all the technical solutions. But we have, of course, also to acknowledge that each country is not the same. There's a reason Denmark can do this. One of them is that there's a lot of hydropower in Sweden, a lot of hydropower in Norway, so we have big interconnectors. And our problem, of course, is also with Germany. Just like in Austria, you had problem in the southern part of Germany, we have problem in the northern part of Germany, because the internal structure of the German power system is not developing fast enough. So that was the only slide that has German in it. These were the most important messages I wanted to say, and the rest is just filling out some of this. This is about the association. We basically produce 30% of Denmark's electricity. That's 75% of Denmark's wind energy. And we have 30,000 members, which are everything from large power companies to the owner of a share of a wind farm in a small part of the country. If you look at the annual capacity for wind energy, this is how it's developed since 1977. It started here was what was called the U.S. wind boom. That's actually the first country was California, started building a lot of turbines in the beginning of the 80s. They used Danish technology, and that's why Danish manufacturers are strong today. They then, afterward, the collapse of the Californian market, started building some turbines at home as well, and that's what we see here. Around here is when the cost of the turbines came down quite dramatically, and we installed an enormous amount of turbines in the second half of the 90s. And it was about this time that the transmission system operators, which at that time were an integral part of the big power companies, were saying, we cannot accommodate more than 1,500 megawatt in the Danish system. I'll show you later where we were at that time. But despite that, we actually increased very dramatically the installations of wind energy going up to year 2000. Then it collapsed the market. That had nothing to do with the technical problems of integration. That had to do with a change in government, which basically gave us no development for some years. We got first a new climate minister and then a new energy minister, and since then the market has been picking up again. So this is the total install capacity that shows the same development. And as I said, we started growing a lot here, second half of the 90s. And around here was when the transmission system operator said, that's it, 1,500 megawatts, no more. And within a few years, we were at 3,000, and they were saying 3,000 megawatts, no more. Fortunately for them, that was when nothing increased because of the political decision, but history has shown, and they have also acknowledged after the Energinet was created in 2005 that we can integrate much larger parts, and we can also get up much higher than where we are today. The green graph here shows you the number of wind turbines in Denmark, and the blue, the share of electricity demand met by wind energy in Denmark. So at the top, we had over 6,000 wind turbines in 2001. They produced 12% of our electricity. And today, we have a bit more than 4,500 wind turbines, and they produce 43% of the electricity. That also tells you something about the technology development of the wind turbines. And the technology itself has also introduced technical measures that allows us to produce more, to integrate more. So, for instance, the fault right through technology that is now common standard in new wind turbines, but which the industry itself were reluctant to embrace because it cost money to put it in the turbines, but that actually just allowed us to apply new technology on our interconnectors to our neighboring countries, which means that we don't now need the central power plants to balance the system. So how these technology play together is a crucial point in how we can integrate more and more renewables and fluctuating wind power. As I said before, we have very little visibility. We have had 4 decades of tradition for energy policy in Denmark, not just renewables policy, energy policy, which was based on the fact that we need to have broad agreement politically of where we're taking our energy supply. That has been the policy in Denmark for 4 decades. That is ending now. Just in December, the government, it's a minority government, together with its supporting party, passed legislation for new tenders for wind and PV with a very narrow margin. And in that sense, we are going into a situation where four decades of agreement, broad agreement politically, seems to be challenged. We have these tenders for 18 and 19. We don't know, there's nothing for the period after 19. So, of course, these tenders will be filled with projects that are already far into the development stage and have been planned and the municipality stage. But no one starts a new project because there is no visibility. If you start a new project, you won't be able to participate in the 2019 tender. It'll take four, five, 6 years to get the project that far. So that's our problem, is that we don't have visibility. It's two tenders. It's for onshore wind, it's for nearshore wind, whatever that is, and it's for solar PV. So it's a technology-neutral tender where these three technologies must compete. We're fine with that. The sun doesn't shine as much in Denmark as in Austria, for instance, so we're comfortable with the competition against the PV. There's a max premium, and the problem here is that it's a premium model. Denmark went almost alone in the European Union by, and EU, of course, has said that we must use tenders as a main rule. They went alone. Instead of basing their tenders on fixed prices, we're basing it on fixed premiums. So, and the maximum premium here is 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's very unusual. It's only Denmark and Finland, I think, that's using the premium model, to my best of knowledge. That's what we're doing, and that adds to the uncertainty. And what happens after 19, we don't know. And that's a problem, of course, for the sector and for the industry and for the wind turbine investors. But it's also a huge problem that there is no visibility for Energinet, the transmission system operator, because it matters what kind of technology you put in the system, which is also one of the questions you might have for these technology-neutral tender designs. In terms of what we can expect, where is wind energy in competition, we get some clues from Germany. This is not the latest tender. There's been a new tender where the prices were higher than the November tender. But this is the latest I got into my presentation, so sorry about that. But the average winning bid was 3.4 cents per kilowatt hour. And we can expect more or less the same kind of levels. The problem is that we in Denmark are not having a tender over fixed prices. We're having it over premiums. So the question is, where is the premium going to be? How do you bid in? Well, you don't actually know what to bid in because you have to make assumptions on what the power price will be the next 20 years to arrive at your bid. It's a much more risky model we're applying, and therefore it's more expensive for the consumers. And that was the big criticism from our point and others to the government's choice of model. 3.4 cents, but that is really competitive electricity. We're in Austria, you're a long-term opponent to nuclear energy, and if we take these 3.4 cents per kilowatt hour over a 20-year contract and to compare that to nuclear energy and the Hinkley Point that the European Commission approved in 2014, they approved a subsidy that starts at 12 cents per kilowatt hour and ends at 30 cents per kilowatt hour in 2058. We were told we cannot have fixed prices or fixed premiums for renewables because it distorts competition back in 2014. Half a year later, the European Commission passes legislation. They approve that the UK can build a power plant where they pay up to 30 cents per kilowatt hour for nuclear energy in 2050 for 35 years. You can get wind energy for three. It's one-tenth. It's insane. Anyway, we're very competitive. These are sort of giving you an idea of where wind energy is. And where we land in Denmark, we don't know. But this is Danish kroner per megawatt hour, so that means nothing to you. But the green one here is 2 cents per kilowatt hour. This is 4 cents per kilowatt hour. And these are the prices, the average prices, that wind energy has received over the last 10 years. So as you see, 3.5 cents, which were the German tenders, we would expect to be a bit higher because it's a more risky model. But that's quite high compared to the average prices paid for wind energy. And that gives you an idea that power prices are very low. And it was said before that Germany has the lowest power prices, and there was a reference to southern part of Germany, that the electricity that flows into Austria, it is cheap, but it's not as cheap as the power that is produced in northern Germany and western Denmark. And the two are very weakly connected. So I think it was said that they have the lowest power prices. It's almost true. Denmark and Norway have slightly lower, but northern Germany as well have very low power prices. And of course, that's a problem if you own a wind turbine, and that's what my members do. With 43.4% wind energy in Denmark, 14 terawatt hours, 15% is met by offshore wind, 28% is met by onshore wind. So that's how the wind energy has developed. That's how we expect it to develop. So we are here. The green is the total wind capacity. Blue is onshore wind, and red is offshore wind. Decisions have already been taken, especially on offshore wind. We're going to build some three farms over the next couple of years, and that means that we will get the total capacity in the beginning of the 20s will be dramatically higher. So we'll be way above 50% wind energy in the beginning of the next decade. But from then on, because of the lack of visibility, because of the low power prices that you cannot finance new turbines with, and because you don't know what kind of system you'll have after 2019, expectations are that total capacity is going to start falling, because all those turbines that were put in at the end of the 90s that I showed you when we really started, they're over 20 years now, or they're becoming 20 years now, so they will slowly start being taken out. The lower the prices are on the power pool, the faster that those turbines will be taken out. We really, really need a plan on how to get forward, and the government has promised to put one forward. It was promised at the fall of last year. We haven't seen it yet. I think the biggest transition is what we see here. This is basically the power mix in Denmark. And in very broad terms, what we've done is, I've tried to translate this into English here. So here we have onshore wind. So this is of production. We also import. So we produce onshore wind 32%, offshore wind 17%. That's of the inland production. So that's more than 50% of our electricity production comes from wind. The reason we're only at 43% is that we're also importing electricity. So, but in terms of domestic production, 50% wind. We are at about 70% renewable electricity at the moment, and we come from a situation of 70% fossil fuels. So that's the transition. We have gone from 70% fossil fuels to 70% renewables, mainly wind energy, but also some biomass and a little bit of PV in 10 years. That's the transition we've had. That's what Energinet DK has said. This is our task. We will integrate it, and we're doing it. And they started out in the late 90s saying 1,500 megawatts. They are now saying we can integrate 12 gigawatts. Today we have six. We can double. We can put in 12 gigawatts just onshore. And that's important also. We don't have these large hydro resources that you have in Austria, but we do. So we use the hydropower in Sweden and Norway a lot. But that's basically what we've done. And 100% is not a challenge. It's not a technical challenge. The transmission system operator needs to do things to do it, but it can. And that's the main thing. And their attitude is, bring it on. And this is not the biggest challenge. For us, the goal is not 100% renewable electricity. It will come. It's only a question about will it be in 2023, 2025, or 2027. There's no doubt. And the coal-fired power plants have, the owners of them have already said that they're going to close them down before, most of them, before 2030. So they're going to disappear. The question is it going to be wind, PV, or biomass taking over? That's the only question. And that's a big question for the transmission system operator because they're different technologies. A very big point in my presentation is that we're very proud of these 43%. And when we get to 50%, we're also going to be very proud, and we're going to issue press releases and saying we're the leaders of the world and no one can beat us. But 43% wind is 7% energy. We're 29 in 2015 renewable energy, not electricity. Today we're at, this is 31% renewable energy. We have a target of at least 50% by 2030. Assuming we have the same demand, that's where we have to be. This shows you, if we add the things that we know will be built, but which hasn't been built yet, we'll be a little bit above 12% wind energy. At the moment, we're at 7% wind energy. Our big challenge is to get that 70% up. We need to get the renewable electricity, including the wind energy, into the heating sector and eventually also into the transport sector. And we need to use the massive storage capability we have in our district heating system in Denmark. You don't have the same necessarily to the same extent in Austria, but we have a lot of decentralized combined heat and power plants, and we have a lot of district heating. And the heating can store electricity when it blows a lot, and the electricity prices are very low. So it's very cheap to do it. The reason we're not doing it is electricity for heating purposes are taxed extremely high compared to, for instance, biomass or even fossil fuels for heating purposes. So we're taxing wind energy, which is the cheapest source of renewable heating, and not fossil fuels. And that's one of the biggest challenges for the development. The political objectives, 50% renewable energy by 2030. We are at 31.3% today. We'll get there. We have to be independent from coal, oil, and gas by 2050. That's another political objective. Our biggest problem in terms of getting the current government to do anything to create visibility is that we're way beyond our targets. This is our targets for renewables in the current directive. It's 30% in 2020. We met that, we met that in 2015, 5 years ahead of time. This is how things will develop. We'll be at 40% very soon. 2020, there'll be 40% renewable energy, not electricity, energy. And the government's target is 50%. It's not a difficult exercise. The problem is nothing has been announced, and the reason nothing has been announced is that the government is saying we're way ahead of the targets. So to the Austrian incoming presidency, we really, really need that legislation to go through during your, and yours is a good presidency to do it. And certainly for Denmark, which used to not need that kind because we would do it by ourselves, now we need something to drag that visibility into the market. So I wish you all the best of luck and hope that we can get a good solution with the Parliament and the Council. These are just the prices, and it's just to show you that we have very low prices for electricity. We need interconnectors, and that's a big part of integrating all this electricity. Our biggest problem is down here, where there's a huge bottleneck between Germany, northern Germany, where the production is, especially wind energy, and southern Germany, where a lot of the consumption is. And they're developing these grids, but it takes time. This one has actually been agreed. There's a Viking link to the UK. It was a big question mark how Brexit was going to affect that. But this is really a major reason why we can uphold a system with that amount of fluctuating wind power. We get a lot of hydropower storage from Norway, from Sweden. We're building a cable to Cobra around Germany because Germany is a problem. Northern Germany is a problem as it is in southern Germany. And we're building a link to the Netherlands and to the UK as well. It's a big, big, big part of the deal. As I said, there's a heavy tax penalty for using electricity for heating. Huge challenge. It's a no-brainer. Remove it. It's not a no-brainer because if you remove a tax, you have to tell the politicians where they're going to get the finance from for all the other things, for new hospitals, etc. There's no incentive at local level to plan for new sites because there's no legislation in place. A big problem is that offshore wind, you don't have this problem, but in Denmark it's a big problem that offshore wind is perceived to be as cheap as onshore. It's not true, but that's the perception. And that also means that politically they're saying, let's wait a few years. It'll be cheaper offshore. There's a lack of long-term power contracts on the North Pool Power Exchange. And then we have this issue about the polluter pays principle that we actually get less than the average power price for wind energy in Denmark compared to the average power price on the pool, the way the market is structured. Christian from Agora was referring to the ETS. I'm not even going to start on that. It's a ridiculous system. It must be changed. Changes were made at the council meeting. It has no effect, if you ask me. Get rid of it. introduce a tax. Instead, we've been working on this. It's almost 20 years old now. It's a disincentive to do anything, and it's a bad excuse for not deploying renewables. So do something. Get a tax in place, or get rid of it. It's starting to really be a pillow that people can sleep on and come home and say, well, we have the ETS, it will work one day. No, it won't. This was a very nice slide, which has been changed, so I can't show it to you. I think this has been made into a PDF, so I'm going to skip that. But what it showed was that it was a graph, basically, of the development of total installed nuclear capacity globally from the 50s until today, compared to wind energy and solar power. And what it shows is that there's almost 400 gigawatts of nuclear power capacity in the world. There is more than 500,000 megawatts of 500 gigawatts of wind energy. So wind energy overtook total installed nuclear capacity in 2013. And last year, solar PV passed nuclear as well. So today we have far more wind energy capacity than we have nuclear in the world. And we just, in 2017, solar PV passed nuclear in terms of installed power capacity as well. They produce relatively little, a wind turbine or a panel, but accumulating them is a lot of power. And that's what I wanted to show you, and it's a great graph, but that'll be another time. Thank you very much for allowing me to address you.